Next week is Advent, and we will be switching gears a little bit. That means today is the last day that we will be continuing in this sermon series on great words. I have to confess, is it okay if I say this? I've really enjoyed this sermon series. These words have blessed me. I get a lot more out of it than you do because, I mean, I spend a lot of time thinking and praying and researching and writing and rewriting and then the privilege of sharing it. And I especially enjoyed last Sunday, the word promise. You know, if you missed last Sunday's service, you missed a good one. Now, I could just tell people were really kind of on tiptoe leaving here last Sunday. I hope that today, as we close this, will be similar, because we have another word today that's very appropriate for this season. The month was November. The year was 1623. The place was Plymouth, Massachusetts. The person was Governor William Bradford. The purpose was to make a proclamation, one that is recognized in history as the first Day of Thanksgiving. The opening sentence of Governor Bradford's proclamation contains a form of today's word, so listen for it. He said, "Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game, and the sea with fish and clams," and it continues. In other words, the first Thanksgiving was just like they are today. It was all about food. And they had reason for that, of course. They faced starvation. I have a big confession. I really love old-fashioned church dinners, especially Southern Baptist ones.
Amen.
Roy Rogers makes pretty good fried chicken today. Yeah, I love sampling all those homemade goodies. I've told you before that I'm a foodie. The problem is that I tend to overindulge. I distinctly remember one really wonderful one. Years ago, in fact, it was the first year of marriage for Elizabeth and me. It was a Methodist church in southern Georgia. That's where they really know how to feed people, you know. And it was my first day as their choir director and their worship leader. And they wanted to welcome us and make Elizabeth and me feel at home. So they had a church dinner right after the service that morning. I was in heaven. They never give you plates big enough for those dinners. I pile food on top of food on that plate, and I devoured all of it. And then I went back for seconds, and I piled that plate. And then I went back for desserts. And this is true. One lady turned to Elizabeth, my newlywed, and said, "Honey, don't you ever feed that boy?" And I heard about that for years from Elizabeth, but that wasn't the worst part. The worst part that is at the end of the meal, the pastor asked me if I would come and lead everyone in a song. I was happy to do that. The pianist started the introduction. I took the microphone, I took a breath, and I could not sing because I was so full, I couldn't breathe enough to sing. Nothing would come out. It was one of the most embarrassing moments of my life. Not my finest moment, I'll say. Well, something like that is going to be repeated over and over this Thursday by a lot of people. Overindulgence. Millions of people are going to start out with an abundant feast, and they're going to be very happy. And a little bit later, they're going to say, "Oh, I shouldn't. I've overindulged." They're going to be just a little bit miserable, right? Some of you have been there, and some of you are looking forward to being there again. America is not the only country in the world that wallows in excess, but we are a major player. I read this. I read that last year, 2020, from 72 to 80 billion pounds of food was thrown into the garbage in America. 72 to 80 billion pounds. That represents approximately 40% of the food that we intended to digest. 40%. Nearly 21% of the contents of the landfills in the United States consist of food waste. And all the while, we're also told there are approximately 37 million people in our country who don't have enough to eat and are hungry. 37 million. What an ironic combination of celebration and shame. And the sad truth is, many of us have developed an appetite for worshiping abundance. Just look at our closets. Just look at our pantries. And our Thanksgivings are prime examples of that. Of course, we've added a few necessities to Thanksgiving that make up for it. Parades and football. There's nothing like abundant food and entertainment to go together, so let's give thanks. Oh, by the way, when Governor Bradford began all this in 1623, he did go further. After he talked about the abundance of food for which he was giving thanks, he added this. He said, "And inasmuch as he," the great father, "inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience," and he continued, in other words, he had more than just food and entertainment in his mind. He included some of the important intangibles for which he said, "We need to give thanks." He reminded them of their protection. He reminded them of their worship. God had given them those things in abundance as well. And those were the important intangibles for which he also wanted them to give thanks. Now, I wonder how many people today still include important intangibles in their Thanksgiving Day observance. Actually, I wonder how many people today still include Thanksgiving in their Thanksgiving. Giving thanks. We have a tradition in our family that I'll bet a lot of you do. If you don't, I encourage you to consider this. After the meal, we all get together, we sit around so that we can see one another, and each person shares at least one thing for which they're most thankful this past year. It's very revealing to each of us and very revealing to receive from one another. If you don't do that, try it. Even if it's just two of you, just try it. So I want to challenge us today, I'm sure you understand, that we include God in our Thanksgiving observance and thank him for his abundance. Do I mean abundance of food and the important tangible things of life, or do I mean the important intangible things of life? Well, the answer is, of course, both. God gives us both. In Psalm 132, for instance, God spoke to his chosen people in verse 15, and he said, "I will bless her with abundant provisions. Her poor I will satisfy with food. Thank you, Lord." He also showed his willingness to provide food for them, even when they wandered in the wilderness. Remember the manna? Remember the quail? Oh, they thanked him at first, didn't they? They thanked him, but then they got sick of it, and they started complaining. Well, that was their problem. We would never have done that. In Deuteronomy 28, God made a promise to the Hebrews which demonstrates his willingness to provide for our tangible needs as well. Now, this is Old Testament. We're talking Deuteronomy chapter 28. God said, "You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed." Isn't that great? Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. "The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to." Here's the last sentence. "The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity." Thank you, Lord. By the way, it's passages like that one that has nurtured a movement among some Christians in America and in other parts of the world called the prosperity gospel. Simply put, they celebrate this Thanksgiving framed in their theology that God will bless according to your positive thinking and positive confession. If you think positively enough, they say, and confess positively, and if you give away enough money, especially if you give it to them, then they say you will be blessed. But they omit one important verse in this passage, and I omitted it too. It's verse 1. Deuteronomy 28 begins with a condition. God said, "If you obey me and carefully follow me, then I will bless." That's different, isn't it? That's different. Thinking positively and giving money away are good, but they are not the conditions that God placed on his abundant blessings. Obedience is. Obedience. Jesus made it very clear in the Sermon on the Mount that God cares about us and God provides for our needs. You probably have memorized Matthew 6, where Jesus said, "So do not worry about tomorrow and what you shall eat and what you shall drink or what you shall wear. For the pagans run after these things." When I was reviewing this sermon this morning, that sentence just jumped off the page at me. I kind of glossed over that one in the past, but the pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Jesus also said that God sometimes will supply only what you need, not excess, not abundance, just exactly what you need. Remember the quail in the wilderness? Excess, abundance. Sometimes God will bless abundantly, sometimes carefully. In either case, thank you, Lord. In either case, thank you, Lord. Now, I don't know how full your pantries are today, but most of us here probably have an abundance of food at home. At least, when I look around this room, I don't see any of this group starving to death. Thank you, Lord. And I suspect the same is true of your closets. Thank you, Lord. Ironically, it's often true that those who have just enough to get by are more thankful for what they have than those who are wallowing in abundance. Someone said this: the abundant life is smothered by the abundant things of this life. I don't like that quote. Someone else said this: life is tragic for the person who has plenty to live on, but nothing to live for. But let's focus on what is most important here. You've probably also memorized John 10:10. Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." The more recognizable translation comes from the King James Version: "I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Of course, he was talking about the intangible things of life, that some of which we've referred to. God's word is filled with examples about that. Jeremiah 33, verse 6, God said, "I will bring health and healing." Mike, are you listening? God said, "I will bring health and healing. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant peace and prosperity." Health, healing, peace, prosperity, vital intangibles. Just think about the multiple threats that this country has endured over the years. Just think about the threats of last year, the COVID pandemic that was imposed upon us. Now think about all of God's provisions of health and healing. Ed, I thought of you. I thought of you because you almost died from COVID. I mean, we really weren't sure we were ever going to see you again. Here you are. Thank God. Thank God. No amount of money can purchase those kinds of blessings. God and God alone can provide them. And Jesus Christ said that God is willing to provide them in abundance. Thank you, Lord. Here's another one. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you." No amount of money can purchase God's abundant mercy and his rebirth through Jesus Christ, or his living hope. Thank you, Lord. No one is wealthy enough to match the inheritance that God has for you in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Your love endures forever. Suppose that you, I looked right at Elaine when I said that. I'm sorry, Elaine. I'm not singling you out. Suppose you committed a crime. You see why I didn't think you would. Suppose you committed a crime, you're guilty, and you've gone to trial and you've been found guilty, and the judge hands you a sentence that you will spend 50 years in prison. But then he decides to reduce your sentence from 50 years to 35 years. He's just given you a little mercy. But wait, he's feeling more generous today, and he decides to reduce your 50-year sentence to just 10 years. He's showing you a lot more mercy. But what if he lets you off scot-free? You don't have to spend any time at all in prison. That would be great mercy. That would be an abundance of mercy. Bless you. And by the way, when I wrote this, Kyle Rittenhouse was not in the news. But think about it. Think about the abundant mercy that God has given to you through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. That is so much more important than food and parades and football. I'm waiting for an amen. Here's a similar reminder we read in Romans 5, verse 17. For if by the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of his gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know you know all of this. I know you have embraced all of this, but some of us will probably forget what we're talking about right now before your lunch is over today. How much more would it be when we get to Thursday that we forget what we're talking about right now? So I want to plant something in your brain. When you see that abundant food on Thursday, just when you see it and you smell it, you haven't eaten it yet, just when you see it and you smell it, let your mind re-grasp some of the things we're talking about right here. Be reminded. Don't leave God out. Invite him to the party. He's a great party guest. Don't just celebrate the abundance of things, but celebrate him. Don't just celebrate that God changes the world, which he does, but celebrate the fact that God changes you, which he does. I'm not much of a gardener, but I have learned a few things. And one of the things that I've learned is that some plants have to be deadheaded. You have to pinch off some of the leaves. You have to pinch off some of the flowers at the right time on some plants. And when you do, they will produce more abundantly. Well, God has to do that with me sometimes. He has to do it with you sometimes. He has to prune us in order that we realize the abundant life that he provides. We may not like it. We may resist him. But he knows what's best for you. Thank you, Lord. When you are met with abundance, don't just look around in wonder. Look up in wonder. And when you live in his abundance, you will stand at the foot of the cross and you will realize that both the rich and the poor are equal there. And every person there needs the same amount of his blood. And that is just one drop to wash them as white as snow. And that one drop is God's love in abundance. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, you have been far more than good, far more than great, far more than generous and patient. I pray, Lord, that as we enter into this time of thanksgiving this week, that it would be a lifestyle for us and not just a moment. So we praise you, Lord, for your gifts, and we ask you to make us grateful recipients and use them to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.